Begin the recording. Thank you. This is the February 28th, 2023 Thurston County Land Use Hearing Calendar. Thank you for being here this morning. My name is Sharon Rice. I'm an attorney who works as a hearing examiner for 10 cities and counties on contract. Thurston County has appointed me to provide hearing examiner services, and pursuant to that appointment, I have jurisdiction to hear and to decide the item on today's agenda. We are gathered to consider Project 2022-102-059. This is a request by the City of Olympia for special use permit, shoreline substantial development permit, and shoreline conditional use permit related to replacement of the old port sewer lift station 1. So I have some remarks that'll help folks know how to participate. Please follow along. If anyone needs to get my attention today, you can call me Examiner Rice or Ms. Rice. If anyone has requests on how they should be addressed, please do let us know when you first testify. Today's hearing is, of course, being conducted virtually and is being recorded by the Zoom platform. That Zoom audio recording is a crucial part of the legal record of this fact-finding hearing. So I need everyone's help in making sure that all testimony is perfectly audible. It's my practice to ask folks to please mute your audio when you're not testifying. That just prevents any unintentional interruptions. When you do testify, it helps us if you can make sure your cell phones or other noise-making items in your environment are as quiet as possible so we don't have to ask you to repeat yourself. Please remember that despite the virtual format, it is a legal proceeding, and we will, it is the hearing examiner's job to make sure it runs efficiently and smoothly. If we have any interruptions, I will be asking for the assistance of the hearing clerk, Ms. Sonia Katie, to mute folks who are making inadvertent or intentional noise that interrupts us. I will be asking folks to testify one at a time when it is your turn to testify. When you first speak, please help us by doing the following. I will ask that you state and spell your name for the recording, and then please also state your correct job title or the name of your relationship to this case so that I can identify you correctly in the findings as to your business here today. And then I will ask that you take an oath to tell the truth and ask that you raise your right hand to do so. I'm going to ask everyone to do that before they testify. The Washington State Appearance of Fairness Doctrine applies to land use hearings. This state law requires decision makers to be free from bias or prejudice, and so I will disclose the following information. As I said, I work on contract for Thurston County and 9 other cities and counties. I am not a county employee. I don't have personal, familial, or other interests anywhere near the subject property, and I have not had conversations with any person before today's meeting about the merits of this proposal. Because all of those facts are true, I am capable of issuing an impartial decision in this project. Anyone who believes they have grounds to challenge my impartiality is required to raise that challenge at their first opportunity, and that would be your testimony today. So please keep that in mind. I also just want to note for people who may not be familiar with the hearing examiner process, as the county's appointed land use decision maker, my jurisdiction is limited to the determination of whether the evidence does or does not demonstrate compliance with the criteria for permit approval and the applicable development standards. If the evidence, in my judgment, does demonstrate compliance, I don't have authority to deny a project. And if the evidence fails to demonstrate compliance, I can't have authority to approve a project. I just bring that up to let folks know it's not a popularity contest. It's not a vote. It doesn't matter who the parties are. It's about the evidence. And so my job is to review that evidence. Even though in Thurston County, as in most jurisdictions, we would hear from county staff first, it is the applicant's obligation to provide that evidence. The applicant has the burden of proof. That term means the applicant is the party whose job it is to provide that evidence. I know this applicant is aware of that, but I state it for anyone else in the meeting who may not be aware. So in terms of order of testimony, I will hear first from county staff, and I will take testimony from any county staff member on the meeting who has substantive information to offer. After that, we'll go to applicant representatives, and they have an opportunity at that point to add to challenge or correct anything the county staff has put forward in its presentation and in the materials, including the staff report. I will have questions for applicant representatives. After that, there will be a public comment period, and it looks now like we have one attendee who may be here for public comment, but at that time, we will take public comment from anyone in the meeting who is not a party or witness for a party. If questions and concerns are raised during public comment, after we've heard all of the public comment, we'll go for responses, and those will first come from county, last from the applicant. That's in light of their burden of proof. They get the last word in these proceedings. Last thing to know, again, because this is a virtual hearing and people have been invited to participate electronically, and because things happen, including weird weather and power outages and internet interruptions, it is my practice to hold the record open for 2 business days at the end of the hearing for the sole purpose of allowing written public comment from members of the public who tried to participate but were unable to do so because they had technology problems or they lacked technology access. So that's just going to be a brief 2-day post-hearing comment period. If we get public comment, staff and the applicant will have a chance to respond in writing to that written post-hearing public comment. At the end of today's hearing, I will give you that complete schedule. You will know all the dates that are relevant, and you'll know what date the decision is due. I think everybody already knew. I won't be announcing my decision today. I am required by county code and state law to take the evidence under advisement, and I have 10 business days to issue a written decision. And again, I will announce those decision deadlines at the end of today's hearing. As we go forward, I hereby deputize Ms. Katie to jump in at any time I need to have something brought to my attention that I'm clearly oblivious to. So please do help me, Ms. Katie, as you always do, make sure things run smoothly. Finally, before we hear testimony, I will just announce the documents that were provided to me that I had a chance to review before today's hearing. As usual, the first document is the staff report prepared by the Community Planning and Economic Development Department. It is Exhibit 1 in the record, as always. And on the last 2 pages, pages 21 and 22, is a complete list of attachments. They are identified as attachments A through Y. Going to spare everybody the reading of those attachments, but they are spelled out in detail in the staff report, and the staff report and all of its attachments are available online. Just Google Thurston County Hearing Examiner, go to cases and today's date, and or it might say upcoming hearings, and then you'll find this matter and all of the exhibits are listed there. In addition, before today's hearing, I was provided with, don't have it open, some public comment. It has been identified as Exhibit 2. Again, I don't have it open now. I'm not going to dig for it. But I did receive that pre-hearing public comments. It was a statement in favor of the project. I did review it. Exhibits 1 and its attachments and 2 are admitted. With that, you are done listening to me drone on, and we will go to county staff. If I could please have the first county witness unmute, introduce yourself by stating and spelling your name, giving us your job title, and then allow me to swear you in, please.
Good morning. I'm Scott McCormick, ScottMccormick, and I'm an associate planner with Thurston County.
Thank you very much for raising your hand to take the oath. Do you swear or affirm your testimony today will be true? If so, please say I do.
I do.
Thank you, Mr. McCormick. Please go ahead.
All right. So we're here for project number 2022-102059, the special use permit, shoreline substantial development permit, and shoreline conditional use permit for approval of a replacement sewage lift station known as Old Port One Lift Station. The project includes a small retaining wall, underground sewer lines, and related utilities. The project applicant is the City of Olympia, and the representative is Alicia Pettibone with RH2 Engineering, Inc. The owner of the easement is the City of Olympia. The location is Old Port Drive Northwest, Anchor Lane Northwest, and Leeward Court Northwest, Olympia, Washington. This project proposes a replacement sewage lift station known as Old Port One Lift Station, or OPLS1. Which was built in the early 1970s and has been damaged by small landslides. The project proposes a new lift station near the existing OPLS-1 to replace it in its functions. The old lift station will be decommissioned. The footprint of the new lift station is approximately 200 square feet and a new 6.5 foot high by 27.5 foot long retaining wall is proposed on the uphill side of the new lift station. The project also proposes to install approximately 800 linear feet of 8-inch diameter sewer gravity main and 4-inch diameter sewer force main between the existing OPLS-2 and new OPLS-1. Additionally, approximately 1,000 linear feet of electrical conduit will be installed roughly parallel to the new sewer main following the same alignment. Construction of sewer mains and electrical conduit will be conducted primarily through open cut trench excavation methods, though portions within the steep slopes will be constructed via trenchless methods. The subject property is zoned residential 4 or R4 in the Olympia Urban Growth Area, and the shoreline designation is rural per the Shoreline Master Program for the Thurston Region, or SMPTR. The proposed work will occur within existing easements and right-of-way. The lift station is located at the toe of a slope facing Bud Inlet and is roughly 30 feet from the ordinary high water mark. The lift station is situated below several residences, which are perched on a roughly 50-foot bluff overlooking the Old Port Community shoreline access and dock and the sewer lift city sewer lift station, OPLS-1. There will be no substantive change or increase in noise or visual impacts associated with the project. In terms of notification, written notice of the public hearing was sent to all property owners within 300 feet of the site and to others who had requested notice. Notice of the public hearing was published in the Olympian on February 17th, 2023, at least 10 days prior to the hearing. A notice of application was mailed to property owners within 300 feet of the site on June 8, 2022. The only critical areas on site are geological hazard areas associated with the steep bluff above the lift station and the 100-year floodplain associated with the Puget Sound. The proposed project is permitted with a critical area review permit within geological hazard areas per Thurston County Code 24.15.025, maintenance, repair, or replacement of utility facilities within a floodplain is also permitted per Thurston County Code 24.20.070. Development within the 100-year floodplain of the Puget Sound requires review and approval of a FEMA habitat assessment, which can be found at Attachment M. This report was reviewed and accepted. A zero rise analysis was also provided, indicating no rise effect for the floodplain. Per Thurston County policy, when SEPA is done with the project, a critical area review is done concurrent with the SEPA review. A separate critical area review permit or CARP is not required. A geotechnical report, attachment O, was done in support of the project, and no significant impacts from the project were identified. The geotechnical report was also accepted by Thurston County. The subject property is zoned R4, as mentioned before, and it's within the Olympia Urban Growth Area. The R4 zone allows for utility facilities with approval of a special use permit. The special use permit criteria under Thurston County Code 23.48.030 was reviewed by staff, and the project was found to be consistent with all of these standards. In terms of environmental review, the proposed special use permit was reviewed for compliance with the Thurston County Critical Area Ordinance, Title 24. As discussed before, the site does contain a geological hazard area, which was reviewed through a geotechnical report. The report was found to be meet minimum requirements and was accepted as sufficient to address applicable standards by Thurston County. The site will be more stable as a result of the proposed retaining wall. The project was also reviewed through SEPA, and a determination of non-significance was issued for the project on September 21st, 2022. The Shoreline Master Program for the Thurston Region designates the shoreline jurisdiction on the property as rural. Review criteria for all development, WAC 173-27-140 was reviewed, and the project was found to be consistent with that WAC. Review criteria for substantial development permits, WAC 173-27-150 was also reviewed, and the project was found to be consistent with those standards. As far as the shoreline substantial development permit, section 3, chapter 20, utilities, part B, policies was reviewed. Whenever utilities must be placed in a shoreline area, the location should be chosen so as not to obstruct or destroy scenic views. Due to the location, there should be very few impacts. The site is located at the toe of a 50-foot bluff. The homes situated above cannot see the site. As the hillside is north-facing, the site is in the shade most of the time, which helps mute aesthetic or visual impacts. The replacement lift station will be similar to the existing older facility, and sewer lines will be located underground, so there will be no or very little impact on scenic views or aesthetics beyond existing conditions. Staff reviewed the remainder of these policies under Chapter 20 and found the project to be consistent. SMPTR Section 3, Chapter 20, Part C, general regulations for utilities were also reviewed, and those criteria, the project was found to be consistent with those criteria into that chapter. All utility facilities must provide safeguards to ensure that no long-term damage will be caused to the adjacent or downstream environment should an accident occur involving the utility. The proposed sewer lines and infrastructure should have no long-term or downstream impacts. The answers were provided to staff regarding emergency safeguards. And one of those safeguards is that alarm systems have been designed to notify the city of high sewage levels to allow city maintenance crews time to access any issues before any overflow. The Shoreline Master Program for the Thurston Region contains regional criteria that apply to the proposal. All development within jurisdiction of this master program shall demonstrate compliance with these standards. Staff reviewed the project against those standards and found the project to be consistent with them. Shoreline Conditional Use Permit. The Shoreline Conditional Use Permit is required for a small 6.5 foot tall by 27.5 foot long retaining wall, which will be situated between the lift station and the toe of the slope to the south. The site has experienced landslides in the past. The Washington State Department of Ecology maps the site as unstable. A retaining wall or retaining system not associated or part of a residential structure is not considered a normal appurtenance. Additionally, the use retaining wall is not a classified use within the SMPTR, and so per WAC 173-27-030-4, a conditional use permit is required. The SSDP and CUP are required to be reviewed by the Thurston County hearing examiner. Review criteria for conditional use permits, WAC 173-27-160. Was reviewed, and the project was found to be consistent with these conditional use review criteria. terms of commenting agencies, the environmental health section of the Public Health and Social Services Department reviewed the project for compliance with health codes. The environmental health comment memo dated September 26, 2022 recommends approval with no conditions. The Thurston County Public Works Department reviewed and approved the project with conditions per their memo dated October 19th, 2022. Comments were also received from the Nisqually tribe at attachments T and U. Initially, the Nisqually tribe requested a cultural resource survey. However, after some discussion with the applicant and the tribe only requested a cultural resource monitoring at attachment U. The cultural resource monitoring plan is located at attachment N. The Squaxin tribe, attachment V, also requested a cultural resource monitoring plan. Comments were received from the Washington State Department of Ecology at attachment S regarding water quality, solid waste, and toxic cleanup. These are standard Department of Ecology comments for most projects near surface waters. In terms of public comments, comments and questions were received from a neighboring property owner, Bruce Sutherland, attachment W. The questions related to slope stability, vegetation, and other project details. The applicant provided a detailed response to these questions, which were sent to the homeowner at attachment X. Then we received some new comments just yesterday from Barbara Benson. And she's generally in favor of the project. Her only concerns were that revegetation be consist of native plants to the extent possible.
Yes, yes. Your comments were the ones admitted as Exhibit 2.
Right. As proposed in condition, the project is consistent with the Thurston County Comprehensive Plan and all other applicable policies and ordinances. Department recommendation is if the examiner finds that the criteria for approval are satisfied, staff recommends the attached 24 conditions to ensure compliance with applicable development standards and regulations. And that concludes my intro.
Thank you so much, Mr. McCormick. As I said, I did have a chance to go through the materials and I did have a chance to read your analysis. I have just a couple of questions for you. Regarding the requests by the Nisqually and Squaxin Island tribes for cultural resources monitoring, question, was the monitoring plan sent to the tribes for their review and comment?
Yes.
It was. And did you have any further comment from them about the plan?
No.
Okay. Question. You do have a recommended condition of approval on page 16. Condition 5 recommends the imposition of an inadvertent discovery plan, but I did not see a condition that requires the cultural monitor to be present during earth disturbing work. Does that need a condition?
So can you tell me again which place sure. you're looking?
Sure, sure. Your recommended conditions?
Uh-huh.
It's on page 5. I'm sorry, page 16, condition 5.
Okay.
It requires an inadvertent discovery plan and that work stop if remains are determined, but it doesn't mention the cultural resources monitor, which according to the plan must be present on site during all earth disturbing activities. So my question mm-hmm. for you was whether that needs to be included in a condition of approval.
It certainly could be.
Was there any other public comment beyond those you already discussed?
No.
All right. I don't have any other questions for you, Mr. McCormick. Anything else you would like to bring to my attention?
No, I don't.
Thank you very much. Mr. Arthur Saint, thank you for being here. Sir, I don't have any specific questions lined up for Public Works. Do you have anything about this project in particular you'd like to bring to my attention?
I do not.
Okay. Thanks for standing by in case of questions. With that, we are ready for applicant testimony. If we could have the first applicant witness, please unmute, state and spell your name, give me your correct job title, and allow me to swear you in. Don't all jump in at once.
I'm Dave Matz, M-A-T-Z, RH2 Engineering Project Manager.
Thank you. If I could have you raise your hand. Do you swear or affirm your testimony will be true? If so, please say I do.
I do.
Thank you. Mr. Matz, what testimony would you like to make?
There's really not a lot for me to, you know, I just want to support or thank Scott and Arthur for their help in getting this through. I'm here mainly to answer any questions that you may have dealing with the site.
Great. Okay, I do. I have several questions lined up for applicants, and they may be for you, Mr. Matz. If not, please let us know. We'll have your colleagues introduce, swear in, and they can answer questions that aren't yours.
Okay.
So just to confirm, this is simply the replacement of an existing lift station and associated sewer lines with similar infrastructure built to current standards. Is that generally true?
That is correct. We are moving the lift station away from the kind of more of the toe of the bank. We were concerned with landslides, or the city was.
Right.
So trying to bring it up to current standards. So, yes.
So in looking at the plans that I was provided, I think the main plan, they are at attachment F in the staff, or attachment F to the staff report. So I'm looking at the one that is basically the overall site plan, this guy.
Okay.
I just want to make sure I'm able to understand all the information that it is meant to convey to me. One thing I don't see is do I have the approximate distance between the existing lift station and the proposed replacement lift station?
I don't know what the distance is. It's probably close to about 50 to 75 feet.
Okay. And I heard in the materials, I know staff mentioned that the existing lift station is 30 feet from the ordinary high water mark, I believe. Do we have that distance from the ordinary high water mark for the proposed lift station?
Yeah, it is slightly closer. It's closer to 20 feet.
Okay.
We're moving it on the other side of kind of the access or the driveway coming down to move it away from the toe.
And the distance between the proposed retaining wall and the proposed new lift station structure?
The retaining wall is adjacent to the new lift station location, is just to help provide support to the access road.
Okay. So it's actually up against the new structure, they touch?
The retaining wall is on the west side of the proposed lift station. And as I said, it's structurally designed to provide more support to the driveway coming down in support of the lift station itself.
Great. And the relocation is expressly intended to move that infrastructure away from the toe of the slope because of at least two previous landslide activity actions?
There's been a few landslides in that area, and what the city is just trying to protect themselves.
Yeah, well, and the environment and the people who use the sewer, and yeah. Can you please help me understand? I understand that the majority of the improvements, which include not just the lift station, but all of the new sewer line and the electric conduit, the majority of the improvements are within right-of-way, but is it true that all of them are within city-owned right-of-way?
No, there is a portion that goes up an existing lot line easement where we'll have the trenchless technology to bring the conduit up between the roadways.
Okay, that's what I believed, but I wanted to make sure I was accurate about that. It does look like it's a lot line.
Yes.
And so that's the portion that will be horizontal directionally drilled underground?
Yes, we'll use a trenchless equipment to do that. We'll start at the lower part and do the boring up the hill.
Okay. There are two geotechnical reports in the materials. I have one prepared, an RH2 report prepared April 22 of 2022, and I have Shannon Wilson report prepared in March of 2022. I'm not 100% sure I understand the distinction between the two reports or why there are two.
We had Shannon Wilson involved in the initial preliminary design of the, you know, placement of the lift station. And then we had RH2 do the one to meet the requirements of Thurston County.
Okay.
Geotechnical side.
Okay. So basically preliminary. Shannon Wilson did a preliminary, like feasibility type of look.
Yes.
Great. In the staff report, Mr. McCormick includes a list of specific actions that the applicant proposes to implement in order to reduce potential for damage to the environment or surrounding properties in the event of unforeseen tragedy or calamity or landslide or whatever. So I'm just curious if I could have some tests, and those are spelled out. The safeguards he included in the staff report are listed on page 10, bulleted list.
Yes.
I just wondered if I could have some more testimony about what these safeguards are and what the purpose for this list is, what exactly you're trying to assure people of.
Well, what we're trying to do, I guess we can go down through the bullet items there. The rim elevation of the pump station currently sits at about, the existing lift station is about elevation 14. The new lift station rim will be closer to 17 for the future floodplain in that area and sea level rise. We want to make sure that they're brought above that so we don't have a chance for contamination. The structural wall, you know, we helped design the structural wall for more stability, as I said, for the access road, but also for the lift station itself. If there is a landslide, there's a better chance for protection of that existing or the proposed lift station. We've said that we've set the lift station back about 15 feet from the existing slope. That's on the access, on the east side of the access drive, to try to give a little bit more room from the toe of the slope on that. We've designed the lift station alarm system as kind of, I think the next two kind of go together, is there's storage volume about almost 6,000 gallons that if there was some sort of pump failure or something along those lines, the city would have time to get out there and respond and try to fix the issue before it becomes an overflow issue. We've also designed a bypass connection for the pump station. So if there's a problem with the pump, the city has a way of hooking up a bypass pump to discharge the sewage from the lift station. And then we have always designed a generator and transfer switch. If there is a power outage, it has the ability for the pump station to still operate.
Okay. Did the feasibility study with regard to this lift station replacement include considering whether it could be relocated away from the shoreline?
We looked at a couple different options. We looked at, you know, trying to leave it in the existing spot, but because of the existing gravity lines that come along the shoreline from the north and from the south, there's really no spot besides this area for a lift station. We were able to move it, as I said, about 50 to 75 feet north and getting it away from the bank and the toe of the slope, but it needs to be in that area just based upon the existing gravity lines that are out there.
All right. Can you or someone else on your team provide any testimony explaining why you don't expect this project to have adverse impacts on slope stability for the bluff here?
That would have been our geotechnical engineer, and he's not there, but that was part of our study that Shannon Wilson did and our RH2 did. As we said, we looked at the landslides, we looked at the existing reports that were done for those landslides and that, and in terms of trying to, the placement, in terms of moving it as far away from the toe of the slope as we could.
Okay. Did you have a chance to review that letter that was received yesterday from Barbara Benson, who expressed concerns about the Angela J. Bowen Conservancy Foundation property?
Yes, I did review it, and we will be able to address her concern. Is most of that work along that their property will be within the existing gravel access road that's already there, but we will make sure that we add notes or construction requirements for native vegetation, meeting their requirements for ferns or salal, trying to get rid of any of the ivy that's there. So yeah, we will make sure that's within the construction plans.
Great, thank you for that. In reading through the materials, I found a lot of language that I would love to select and copy and paste into my findings so that I don't have to retype word for word all of the excellent language you've already drafted. But your JARPA is not a search and searchable. I can't cut and paste from it. Is there a chance I could get a searchable copy of your JARPA so that I can save us all some time?
Alisa says yes, so yes.
All right, I'm going to make note that I am that I've asked for it and that it can be sent to Miss Katie after the hearing, and she will forward it to me. It is just a repeat of the I'm asking for a repeat of the same document that's already in the record, so I'm not looking to give it another exhibit number.
Okay.
Random housekeeping question. It just piqued my curiosity. In attachment M, which I am digging for now, your floodplain habitat assessment. On pages 18 and 19 of that document, which is the references section, all of the URLs are sort of blacked out. They've been typed over. I'm just curious about how that happened or why.
I'd have to look back at it. I'm not sure why.
Pages 18 and 19, again, this is the copy that I was provided by the county. In case I wanted to go look at any of these studies, I can't because I can't read the URLs. I don't know if, I'm just curious about that. I probably wasn't gonna go read too many of the source studies.
Okay.
Did you wanna answer that? Can I have you introduce yourself?
Yeah, my name is Alicia Pettibone, A-L-I-C-I-A-P-E-T-T-I-B-O-N-E. Also with RH2 Engineering, I'm the Environmental Project Manager.
Managers, if I could have you swear in just real quick, do you promise your testimony will be true? If so, please say I do.
I do.
Thanks. Any idea what happened there? Or
My guess is it's just a reproduction issue. And I'm happy to provide that in a PDF also to Sonia along with the searchable JARPA. That's not a problem.
I think just so that the record contains resources and references that aren't blacked out, it would make sense to have that happen. Actually, I didn't compare this to the online version, and we should do that. Maybe the online version is legible and the paper copy isn't for some reason, but
right.
In the event of an appeal and it goes to court, you want your references to be legible. So that's, I just want to make sure that you have that.
Sure.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Let me ask at this point, I don't have other substantive questions for you. Was there other substantive testimony? Anything else in particular you want to bring to my attention based on the questions I've asked or based on county analysis?
There was one additional one for me.
Please.
So you had asked Scott for regarding condition 5.
Yes.
About the IDP and whether we also needed to have the monitoring.
Yes.
Listed. So the monitoring, it's the report that was provided, and I don't recall what the exhibit number was of it. Let me look back there.
Sure.
Attachment N.
N, yeah.
That is a monitoring inadvertent discovery plan. So right. Not that I disagree with, you know, the inclusion of the monitoring piece of it, but it is intended to be an inadvertent discovery plan and also outline monitoring requirements.
Got it. I think what I would feel most comfortable doing, because cultural resources monitoring is kind of a unique thing to come up, as opposed to a survey versus just IDP, to have a monitor be required to be there is kind of a unique circumstance. And because it is, I just think if approval is granted, condition 5 should be amended to reflect the fact that this is both monitoring and inadvertent discovery that are required. That's all I was thinking. Does that sound agreeable?
Yeah, that totally makes sense to me. I just wanted to point out that MIDP is intended to be both of those things.
Got it. Yeah, the language Mr. McCormick has there is standard IDP condition. It's kind of a boilerplate. So, and this is a unique circumstance. I think I'll just insert the title of the report in that condition if approval is granted. Anything else, Ms. Pettibone?
No, that is it.
Great. Anything else, Mr. Matz?
No.
Thank you. Did the applicant have any questions or concerns about any of the recommended conditions of approval at all?
I'll hop in now.
Can I have you introduce yourself?
Yep, Eric Mayhew, E-R-I-C-K-M-A-H-U-G-H. I'm the senior engineer at the City of Olympia and project manager for this project.
And I just ask you to promise, sir, your testimony will be true. If so, please say I do.
I do.
Thank you, Mr. Mayhew.
I don't have anything to add or any questions, but I just wanted to echo what Dave Matz said to thank the county and thank you to RH2 for helping us get to this point. It's been a long time coming.
All right, great. And did you have a chance, anybody here have a chance to review the conditions and have any concerns about any of them? I've got some head shaking. No, okay, great. All right, then let's go to Ms. Katie. I believe we have some attendees. Let's find out if we have any public comment, please.
We do have some attendees. The first on the list is AJBCF. If you'd like to have a comment, please collect, or have, sorry, there's a box that will pop up on your screen that says rejoin the meeting as a panelist. And if you click that, we'll be able to hear and see you. Looks like they're moving over.
Great. Hello. Hi.
Hello, how are you?
Well, thanks. Could I please have you state and spell your name? And then we'd like to either get a mailing address or an email address for the record, please.
My name is Jeffrey Crawford, JeffreyCrawford. My title is accounting manager at Angela J. Bowen Conservancy Foundation, one of the landowners.
And please, I'm sorry, I was getting accounting manager down. I missed the name of the foundation. Is it the?
Angela J. Bowen Conservancy Foundation.
Thank you very much. And what mailing or email address should we use for you?
That's the email address, jcrawford@abowen-assoc.com.
I'm going to read that back. jcrawford@abowen-assoc.com.
Correct.
Thank you so much. If I could swear you in real quick, can I swear you in real quick? If
you certainly can. I was just coming in to say I didn't have any comments, so I don't. I'm glad. I didn't want to just ignore you.
No. Thanks for letting us know. I need to remember when the people come on. The first thing to say is, do you want to comment? Then I don't need to make you spell your email.
Okay, I'd be glad to be sworn in to say that if it's necessary.
No, it's not. If you don't have any comment, that's fine. Thanks for being.
Yeah, we are here for informational purposes as a landowner.
Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
For the next person, the first question will be, do you want to provide testimony?
Perfect. And next up is Patrick Kehill. Same thing, you'll get a message on your screen asking you to rejoin as a panelist if you'd like to testify. Okay. It looks like you're unmuted there, Mr. Keo, for a second.
Right.
Unmute.
Hello.
Hello. I don't think my camera is working. So I don't have any testimony. I'm just the owner of the property immediately above where the lift station will be and where the existing one is. I'm just interested in knowing what's going on.
Well, thank you for letting us know, Mr. Kehoe. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
All right. With no public comment, and that was it, correct, Ms. Katie?
That's correct.
Okay. With no public comment, I'll just ask if any final comments from the parties. First to the county, anything else?
No, I don't have anything else.
Thanks very much.
Yeah.
Any last word from the applicant representatives?
No.
No.
Well, thank you very much, everybody, for all of your work on the project. Clearly, it has been deliberately considered. I will take this material under advisement. I believe I will be issuing the decision within the 10 business days following the close of the record. This is the schedule that I previously advised you would occur. Because of the virtual hearing format, I am going to hold the record open for 2 business days. That is March the 2nd. So the record is held open through March 2nd solely for post-hearing written public comment from members of the public who tried to participate but were unable to do so because they lacked technology or had technology problems. If there is no post-hearing comment that's submitted timely by March 2nd, the record will close on March 2nd. The decision will be due March 16th. If the county does receive post-hearing comment, and that could, my request would be for that to be emailed to Sonia Cady, the hearing clerk, whose email address I believe is on the notices that go out. Is that right, Ms. Cady? But it could also go to the planner. And in the event that either Ms. Cady or planning staff receive public comment, I would ask that you please forward it to the applicant as soon as possible, bring it to my attention and add it to the record. Both staff and the applicants will have 2 days to respond. Because of the weekend, that means your responses are due March the 6th, and that results in a decision deadline of March the 20th. The only other documents that I am waiting for, we lost Ms. Cady. That's interesting. The only other documents that I am waiting for are Ms. Pettibone was going to send us a clean copy of the attachment M to make sure the URLs for all of the resources are legible for the record. And that also I was asking for a search and pasteable copy of the JARPA so that I can save everybody time by not retyping what you've already typed. So those documents don't need to be added to the record per se. They're replacements for documents on the record. Those can be emailed to Ms. Cady within the next couple business days. It'll be fine, and she will forward them to me for the record. That completes our hearing. I haven't had it happen where Ms. Cady dropped out. See what I'm saying about those technology problems? So hopefully she can join us back and stop the recording because we are done. Thanks very much, everybody, for being here. The meeting is adjourned. I'm going to go. If anybody else knows any way to reach Ms. Cady, let her know we're done.
Thank you.
Thank you. Take care.